Volleyball completes the Concordia sweep of Doan. Football defeats Briarcliff, and soccer reaches the semifinals. Hello, I'm Kai Ulbrich. I'm here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. I mean, fall sports is coming to an end, but knowing that being Doan in fall sports is great.
It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely. Just beautiful.
All the sports where you go, like just one team against another. So football, volleyball, men's soccer, women's soccer. You got the four team sweep over them. Obviously, you know, cross country, golf, all them. You're going against 10 different teams at once, so it's not quite the same comparison. But all the sports where it's just one versus the other, we got it done.
Yeah, so knowing that we sweep Doan, let's start it off by talking about that game where the volleyball women won against Doan, home 3-0.
Yeah, let's just jump right into it. So like you mentioned, you were there for that game, right?
Yeah, I was, and the funny thing was that I predicted one of the scores in the sets. So the first set, Concordia beat Doan 25-16. Now, usual stuff, like a good hitting percentage on that one. Then second set, 25-15. So then I'm thinking, like, there's no shot we're going to do 25-14, right?
No shot, you say?
I said no shot, right? Guess what happened? 25-14.
There we go. 16-15-14.
16-15-14. And it was just a great, obviously, the way from the coaches to let it rip. They let it rip on this last regular season game here against Doan. I mean, if you look at the first set, their killers percentage for first set was 0.424.
Wow.
Second set, 0.409. Then the third set, 3.389. And they held Doan. I'm talking, though, they held their killer percentage to, like, a minimum. Like, Doan's first set was their highest kill percentage, 0.206. Then the second set, 0.069. Then 0.086. That was just a, as you can see how much well the defense was for Concordia, obviously, with that point. I mean, you see Ashley Keck, you know, getting like a couple of aces in the game and a lot of kills for her. If you look at it, she had 13 kills. She had 13 kills, which with her precision was like 0.4%.
Yeah, she was hitting 400.
She was hitting 400. She was hitting 400, 12 digs. And she had a combined of 17.5 points in that game.
Nice.
It was a sweep. It was like that was the definition of a sweep right there too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the dominance that we showed at the net. You mentioned those individual set kill percentages, but just to give you an overall look, it was 407 for us compared to 122 for them. So we were hitting over three times as well, three times more efficiently. You look. Doan only had 26 total kills, 14 errors. We had just 9 errors and 46 kills. So very efficient day from us. You mentioned Ashley Keck with those 13 kills on 25 swings. You also have Ella Waters, who hit 6 kills off of just 11 attacks. And then you look at Ava Green, who had a very impressive 545 kill percentage, 7 for 11. Molly Martin, the best of the bunch, 7 kills on 10 attacks, 0 errors. She hit as close to perfect as you can really get with that many swings. I mean, Maddie Paulson, 4 kills on 9 attempts. It was a really good hitting day for us. Not one person was in the negatives. You look at Doan, they had multiple girls hitting negative. They had 3, in fact, on the negative percentage. You had some girls going up for 15 attempts and still being in the negatives. So, like you mentioned, very good day hitting-wise, keeping them low hitting. We didn't get as many blocks in this game as we usually do, just 1 solo block, 6 block assists. But you can see we dug the ball out well. We had 54 total digs compared to Doan's, just 34. So even though we weren't necessarily stopping their swings at the net, we were still digging them out in that back row to keep the points alive, whereas our hits were just too strong.
Yeah, and you know, in that was their final regular season game that secured their spot for the second seed, obviously, because, yes, you know, they only lost 2 games.
Just 1 game in GPAC, 1 game to Northwestern.
Yeah, well, 1 game in Northwestern, but they just lost 2 games total, but only 1 in, like, the Great Plains Conference.
Yep.
Now that gives them the second seed, they're going to host the quarterfinals this weekend, obviously during the Cal Classic game for basketball. We're going to talk that in a minute later, though. This is against Morningside here for this quarterfinals for volleyball, and this is going to be a really interesting matchup, obviously, you know, even though they played them before. Mm-hmm. It's the GPAC tournament, so anything can go, and obviously some teams are going to have, like, the tension rise up.
Yeah, I mean, a playoff game is always a little bit different. You never really know what's going to happen. Thankfully, you know, no matter what happens, we'll be getting that likely at-large bid to Nationals. So, well, of course, we want to win that GPAC tournament. For the overall big goals of this team, it doesn't have as much of an impact, which should, you know, I think take some pressure off of the shoulders as well. You know that even if you do lose, which we're not expecting to happen, but even if you do lose, your season's not over. But like you said, playing Morningside this Saturday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the conclusion of all of the Cattle Classic action, we'll have that volleyball game. And we've played Morningside once already this season. It was a tight one, though. It was a 3-2 victory. So it was in a stretch where we were having a lot of close games. Morningside hung with us. We went up 1-0 in the sets. They tied it up 1-1. Then they went up 2-1, actually.
Right.
Then we brought it back to 2-2 and then won in the fifth set. So it was a very tight matchup. Definitely not a team to overlook. Their record hasn't been great so far this season. They're just 9-8. They've had 27 matches played, 14-13 overall, 7-9 in the conference. Of course, the GPAC's a very good conference. You have 3 ranked teams in there, so that's going to account for a lot of the losses. But still a team to take seriously because they are the 7th seed. It'll be a good one definitely to be at. Yes. A good one we're looking forward to. But before we move on, we got to talk a little bit about the reverse sweep that the Bulldogs had a couple days ago against Midland.
Oh, the reverse sweep. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That one was a it was a little bit of a scare, but yeah. The reverse sweep is still technically a sweep, but not a sweep if you get my
idea. Yeah. So this one was on November 1st at 5 in Fremont, so an away game. A reverse sweep, of course, means we won the game 3-2. Midland took the first 2 sets from us, though. Not something that usually happens. We usually are pretty good at taking at least one of the first 2 sets.
Right.
But Midland won the first one 25-20 and the second one 25-23. So you're thinking, oh, rough day. You know, this is a ranked opponent.
Yep.
They were 19th at the time of that game. So you're thinking, maybe we can get one or two back, but you're not expecting a reverse sweep. But we went and did it. So after losing that second set 25-23, we come back in the third to win 25-19. Then we go 25-23, and then we dominate them in the fifth set and win it 15-9. And that gives you your reverse sweep of 3-2. Quite even statistically. You look at Midland, they hit 203. We hit 288. Our block numbers were actually crazy for this game, though. You want to talk about an individual performance? Let me tell you about Ava Green in this Midland game.
Go ahead, man.
So, you look at her hitting percentage, it was quite good. It wasn't like knock your socks off or anything, but it was very good. She hit 8 kills on 17 swings with just 2 errors. Mm. But then look at her block numbers. She had 13 block assists.
13?
13. So that means 13 times she went up with someone else and the ball came back down. Ooh. 13, that's the most I've seen all season from someone.
Okay.
So we had 30 block assists total, and she was in 13 of them. And for a block assist, you know, for every block, you have to have 2 block assists, or else it's a solo. So she basically, every time there was a block assist, she was a part of it. So incredible performance at the net overall from her. You look at Molly Martin. She's been hitting really well these last couple games. She has a 550 percentage in this one, again, against the number 19 team in the country. 12 kills, 20 attempts, just 1 error. The ever-present Ashley Keck. 18 kills, 46 swings, 5 errors, 283. Kaya Scott, 8 kills on 24 attempts. You look at Ella Waters, 12 kills on 29 attempts. Just a really good game. And you look at these and you say, you know, Midland played really well in the first 2 sets, but then we really turned it on in those last couple. We held them to a negative hitting percentage in the final set while we hit 353, and that's all you really need. If you're going to hold them to a negative and hit over 300, you're going to win the set.
Hey, that's the definition of bend don't break on my end right there.
Exactly.
Down
exactly.
2-0 in this game and coming back with a reverse sweep.
Yes.
That
and
is a bend don't break.
For sure. And just to talk a bit more about how even this game was in many parts, dig numbers, we had 67, they had 72, so very even in that regard. But yeah, it really shows some resilience, like you said, bend don't break from this Concordia volleyball team. And especially looking at that fifth set, hitting our best of the game in that fifth set really takes into account that let it rip motto that Coach Bolt always talks about. You know, don't start tipping the ball when the sets get tight. Make sure you're swinging, especially in those points after 20, or I'm assuming in the fifth set, it'd be the points after 10 when the pressure's on, the game's on the line. They really turned it on.
You know, the thing is that every time we talk about volleyball, we always talk about that motto, let it rip. And mm-hmm. it's been proving throughout these games. I mean, look at this one right here, a tight game against Midland, even though you're not supposed to take Midland lightly.
Yep.
You let it rip and you still get that outcome going.
Yes.
That's the definition of like keeping and staying true to what the team was like.
Yes, and just one thing to wrap up the volleyball segment for today. They have not lost a fifth set all year.
That's a good stat to hear.
Yeah, they have not lost a fifth set. Admittedly, they haven't been in a ton of fifth sets, but they've been in four of them this right. season, and they've won all four.
So 4-0 on the fifth set.
Yes.
Okay.
So don't go to a fifth set with Concordia Volleyball, or you're going to lose.
I'm knocking on wood on that one. I'm knocking on wood.
Yep, for sure. But moving on to a team that also won this week. There's been lots of winning this week. It's a theme for this one.
Yeah.
A very, very fun theme. We have Concordia Football, as they hosted Briar Cliff on Saturday. So we ended up winning this one 34-17 in quite dominant fashion, especially on the run game. We were really good down low, even without Carlos Collazo still out injured.
Yep.
So he, you know, obviously not able to partake in the game, but we've had some very good deputizing as of late. Calvin Sassman, he's been stepping up really big for us. He had 29 carries in this one, 152 yards and a touchdown. Adam Van Cleve also has been getting a lot of reps in at running back, 12 attempts for 50 yards and a touchdown rushing. We also had two more rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Tyler Douglas had a rushing touchdown. He had 15 yards in the game. And then Nixon Liguri, he had a touchdown as well. He had two carries for 11 yards and got that touchdown. Passing, we didn't have any passing touchdowns in this game. Not necessarily a quiet game from Gideon Stark. He had 187 yards, went 19 for 39. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but he seems to have done a pretty good job of getting the ball down the field and putting our running guys into position to score. On the receiving side, like I said, the passing numbers weren't crazy high or anything, so you'd expect the receiving numbers also to not be crazy high. But Max Bartles, he had 89 yards. Adam Van Cleve had 54 receiving yards. Dane Omel had 28. Johnny Pools had 12. And then Maddox Rickardson had 4.
Okay.
Kicking, Peyton Atwood went 2-for-3 on field goals and 4-for-4 on extra points. He's been super solid all year long. Braxton Koch, he didn't have to do a whole lot of work. He had 5 punts throughout the game. Did pretty well on those. Just to break down the how we scored the touchdowns.
Yep.
We went up 10-0 in the first quarter. Adam Van Cleve was the one who punched in that touchdown from the 1 yard line. Peyton Atwood then made a 38 yard field goal. Tyler Douglas then had a 5 yard run in the second quarter to put us up 17-0. That's when Briar Cliff got 3 points on the board, a 43 yard field goal. Then Peyton Atwood put in a 20 yard field goal, put us up 20-3. Briar Cliff scored. Calvin Sassman scored for us. Then Nixon, he scored his. And then Briar Cliff scored with just 3 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, I mean, they were just trying to get that, like, touchdown to get some momentum in and just not least lay a goose egg as much, really.
Yeah,
it's not... It was like a final pride touchdown right there.
Definitely. So, not a ton of crazy stuff happened in this game. It's pretty straightforward. We ran the ball well. We played good defense. We won the game. But some interesting things are the GPAC standings. So we're getting towards that time of year when you're looking at, all right, who's the committee going to pick for those national playoff spots? And it's a bit tricky.
Let's see it.
So right now, Dort is leading the conference. They're 8-0. So if they went out, they're going. Literally automatically, they won the conference.
Yes.
Morningside, 7-1. They are likely to go. Being nationally ranked as well in the top 15, they're probably going to go. Then we have Concordia in third place, 6-2.
Yeah.
That loss versus Midland hurts a lot for that.
I mean,
national ranking and the playoff hopes.
I mean, I don't even want to talk about it because, I mean, it was a reverse comeback for Midland, knowing that we should have came back and won that one, but...
Yes. So these next two games are really going to decide what happens for this Concordia football team because we have two of the toughest games coming up.
All right.
We have Dort on Saturday.
Oh, goodness.
If you can win that one, we put ourselves in a really good spot.
Yes, absolutely.
We can say we beat a top 10 team. You give the committee a very difficult choice to make if they want to leave us out. So, then the final game of the season, Senior Day against Northwestern. Northwestern's been an interesting team this year. They are a penultimate team in the tournament. They are always there.
Right.
But they've had a rough year by their standards, of course. They're 5-3. Some of the wins and losses are also interesting. Just like we have some interesting results, they do as well. So they lost to Hastings 10-9.
10-9?
10-9, yeah. We beat Hastings 32-29, so it was a close game.
Right.
But Hastings is 4-5 on the season. And Northwestern lost to them. Then Northwestern goes and beats Morningside, handing them their only loss of the season. Which is why Morningside, 7-1 instead of 8-0.
Right.
Northwestern now 5-3. We are 6-2. So let's play the hypotheticals and say we can beat Dort and we can beat Northwestern. Then we sit with an 8-2 record, while Northwestern likely sits at a 6-4 record. I don't think any committee can take Northwestern over Concordia in that situation.
Well, that's a hypothetical, but, not trying to be that type of person when there's committee and stuff like that, because you saw what happened last year.
That is true.
And I'm not trying to bash them with everything there's not. I'm just saying, like...
Yes, but last year, they picked Northwestern over us while we had equal records.
But they
beat... Both teams were 8-2, but we had beat Northwestern.
So that's like, the thing is, like, you beat Northwestern, that means you should go, because that's just like, it's a tiebreaker, but you beat that team. But
this year, if we can beat Northwestern, we'll be two games clear of them on the records. And you'd think there's no way committee could take Northwestern over Concordia in that case.
Right.
But if we're being, I don't like to say realistic, because our team has shown they can beat anyone.
Yes.
But if you think we go 1-1 over that stretch, losing to Dort and beating Northwestern, then it's a bit more of a question, because then you're 7-3, Northwestern's 6-4. Now you're giving them a bit more of a question. Do you even take three GPAC teams then? Historically, we've had two or three going every year. Last year, it was Dort, Morningside, and Northwestern.
Right.
For those three. Will they take three again this year?
It's possible, but the thing is that Concordia's got to figure out a good game plan, because, I mean, it's against an undefeated Dort team at their stadium. It's not a home game, so it's going to be a challenge for them. And then they might need some little help as well. Like, say they actually, don't beat Dort, they're going to need some help beating some other teams, beating, like, Northwestern, because they are obviously in second place. So if they lose that game, then they have win that game and beat Northwestern, then, like, the odds are going to be up for them, too.
Yeah, the biggest thing for Concordia to do is beat Northwestern, because no matter what happens, we're not going ahead of Dort.
No.
Like, we're not going to go in place of Dort.
No, that's true. We're not. But, a win against Dort would be amazing.
It's a great resume booster.
It's a great resume right there.
If you can beat Dort and Northwestern, I see it very hard for the committee to leave out an 8-2 Concordia team for a second year in a row.
Yeah, and I don't want to go down into that path with it. I don't even want to go down that path, because it might happen, it might not. I'm not saying yes.
You never
know.
I'm
not saying no, but it's a guarantee hope, because I want to talk about this for our next podcast episode, say they made the playoffs with it, because we have never talked about this throughout this Talking Dot podcast.
I think it's been since 2005 since we've made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's a long time coming.
It's a long time coming. I want to do that. I mean, I want to see that happen here.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But I think that's enough said about the hypotheticals and potentials for the football season. Let's move on to a team that has a bit more of a certain path to the future, and that would be men's and women's soccer.
Since we already talked about the men for football, we gotta talk about the women's soccer.
Let's talk about women's soccer. So they played against the College of St. Mary a couple days ago,
right?
And it was a blistering start to that one. You want to talk about getting off on the right foot in a playoff game? Talk about that women's soccer team.
And you were there too, so go ahead and tell us about that, Kai.
Yes, for sure. So game kicks off. Looks like a normal game for the first 2 minutes, right?
Right.
And you're thinking, no, we haven't scored yet, but it's been 2 minutes, right?
Right.
That's pretty normal for a soccer game. That happens in basketball sometimes. But then Evie Keller gets her first goal of the season in just the third minute of play.
Get out of here.
We're like, oh my gosh, this is great.
That's the way you start the playoff. That's the way you start quarterfinals.
Yeah, calm the nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
Get on the board early. 2 minutes, 41 seconds gone. And she scores, assisted by Kirsten Gardner, of course.
Yep.
And you're thinking, okay, great. Love that start. Now we can settle in for a little bit. No, we could not. 5 minutes and 26 seconds gone. Savannah Andrews scores her fifth goal of the season, assisted by Elena Ruiz. And this one was really nice. It was, you know, we had possession on the corner of the box, passing it around a little bit. The ball gets passed to Savannah, and she's right on the edge of the box, about 5 yards outside of the goal,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, outside of the goal view, and she just hits it first time, top corner over the keeper, to put us up 2-0. Thinking, oh my gosh, this could be a blowout game. You're up 2-0 in 6 minutes. Unfortunately, it was not a blowout, but we did end up getting the third goal in the 56th minute. Taylor Slaymaker, with her third goal of the season, assisted once again by Kirsten Gardner. But Taylor's made herself a little bit of a goal threat this season.
Yes, yes she has.
So I was talking to Coach Smith after the game and just about Taylor and her newfound love for scoring, and he was telling me that, you know, she's a fifth year. So he said in her 4.5 years prior to this game, she scored one goal. And then in the last 5 games, she has 3 goals.
My goodness, that's just...
So he said she's figuring it out at the right time. So, yeah.
The momentum's there.
It is certainly there. It is certainly there. You look at the shot count. We had 17 shots in the game, 8 on target. They had 5, 3 on target. They did not threaten very much. Aaliyah Vidro in Concordia's goal had 3 saves. So not too much action for her, and she did her job when called upon. And really, there's not much more to say about this one. It was a pretty calm game in terms of fouls. There's only 11 combined throughout the whole game. We dominated the corner kicks with 9 compared to their 1. And just overall, a really good performance from our girls.
Yep.
And just to now talk about what is shaping up to be a very exciting semifinal game. Semifinal at home on Saturday, November 8th. Night game, 6 p.m. against Hastings.
3-2.
A rematch of the GPAC championship match of last season.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is going to be that's a story right there.
Last year, it was rough for Concordia. 4-0 loss.
Ooh.
This year, we have already a win against Hastings.
Right.
2-1 in the regular season, a comeback win as well. Hastings scored early on, but then we put 2 on them. One in the first half, one in the second half to take that win. And the soccer teams this year have had a lot of success against Hastings, something that doesn't always happen because Hastings is usually a very good team. They still are a good team this season,
yes.
Not taking anything away from them, but men's soccer has already put the double on them, beat them in the regular season, and then we beat them in the quarterfinals, just to preview that a little bit.
Yeah.
And now women's soccer has a chance to make it 4 out of 4 for the soccer teams against Hastings. Something I don't know when the last time that would have happened.
I'm not even going to go into detail on that one. That's like...
We'll have to do some digging for that one.
Yeah, that's a little bit of digging.
So, very excited for this matchup. It should be one that you want to come out to. I know there's a lot of action coming up on Saturday, but that is certainly one to make it to if you can.
Right.
But now, moving on to some more Hastings. We're talking a lot about Hastings today. the men's soccer quarterfinal against the aforementioned Hastings.
Yes.
And that one was a defensive battle.
Yes. And I know you were playing it. I was there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was a game. And let me tell you, I mean, this game, ladies and gentlemen, this game went into overtime. Obviously, you know, the game was really defensively. I mean, it was very tense. You can cut the attention with a knife of how bad y'all both wanted this game. Because literally, I mean, in the first half, it was like, you know, getting started, just a little bit of calmness, try to get a score. But then the second half is when things got real. I mean, we had two yellow cards in the game. I mean, that was...
Which really, isn't that many,
it's not,
honestly.
It's not many, but it was chipper out there in the second half. It was very chipper. And that game did go into OT, and this is how it went down, ladies and gentlemen. On a free kick here. Ugo Garote, free kick, and hits it on the corner. He passes his goal like a top left corner, top right corner, and passes it and scores a goal to win the game.
There we go. And OT. Yeah, and in soccer tournament play, overtime is golden goal, so that means it's essentially next goal wins. So we walked it off on that free kick. Everyone was going crazy. The whole bench cleared. We ran over to the fans. The golf team was running down from the stands to come celebrate with us.
The whole stadium was going crazy.
It was nuts.
Not only that, we did have some upsets too during the GPAC tournament.
Yes, we did.
And for those who didn't know, obviously, the number one seed and the number two seed both lost.
Yes, they did.
Northwestern lost to Mount Marty on some penalty kicks.
Yes, they
5
did.
5-4. And then Briarcliff beat Midland 3-2. So for those who don't understand is that Concordia is now the only highest seed in the GPAC tournament, meaning is that if they win their next game against Briarcliff, they will host the championships again for the second year in a row, because you hosted it last year
and lost to Hastings.
To Hastings. So now this is your chance to win against Briarcliff, host the championship games either against Mount Marty or Morningside.
Ooh, that'll be a good one.
And that's gonna happen, obviously. That's gonna happen on November 7th. That's gonna happen tomorrow.
This is the semifinal game. Yeah,
the semifinal game is tomorrow at 2 p.m. And if you are not, if you were here on campus, you gotta pull up, because this is a moment that can happen for this team for soccer. And obviously, I mean, think about it. Don't you want to hear? I'm here with semi-fi championship Kai Obrick here on the podcast.
Come support. If you're not in class, I'm not gonna say to skip class. You shouldn't skip class. But all I'm saying is, if you're maybe in one of the upper floors of Tome, and you just happen to sit by the window, and you just happen to look out every once in a while at the game, or if you're not in class, pull up to the game.
Now, I did speak to Garote a little bit, and he said, go heading into the semifinals, that y'all deserve this. You have the high intensity of winning this game, and you're going to continue to fight for that championship, because obviously you got robbed last year, obviously by Hastings last year, and it feels good to obviously beat them in this quarterfinals.
Definitely.
And now you have the chance to do what you have to do for this. Out of your years of being here in Concordia, you can actually do this as well. I mean, you got some playing time, didn't you?
I did get some playing. I started that one and got like 54 minutes in it. So played, I guess, the majority of the game. It was a fun one. It was very intense. We said not a ton of offensive action in this one. We edged the shot count 13-9. Inigo in our goal played amazing, as he always does.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, he's back-to-back GPAC Defensive Player of the Week.
As he should.
For this performance. He had 4 saves on the 4 shots on goal. No goals allowed.
I mean,
and I'm telling you, a lesser keeper, we don't come out clean in that game. So very, very, very grateful to Inigo for his amazing work all season long.
Very grateful for the team in general for not bending and breaking when, you know, the odds are stacked against you as well, too.
Yeah, and let me just give another quick shout-out to our back four. They played, I think they all played the whole game. But we had Slade Light at right back, Adrian Wambua, Mike Weivel, and then Mattis Holnagel. They played incredible all game long. like he said, only gave Hastings 9 shots total, only 4 hit the frame. So great performance from our back line and a great team performance overall. And now we're looking forward to both the men and the women in the semifinals. You mentioned the men's team got some help with the other results.
Yep.
The women's team also did. So Mount Marty has played spoiler for both one seeds in the soccer tournaments. Mount Marty men beat Northwestern, who was the one seed.
Yep.
And then Mount Marty women beat Morningside, also in a shootout.
What is this, March Madness but soccer?
Exactly. It's Mount Marty Madness is what it is.
I like that. I like that. Even though this is Hucky Dog podcast, I like that. Mount Marty Madness on that.
Yeah, so they both upset the one seed, which means the women, as the two seed, they were going to have the semifinal anyway. But if they advance out of this, they also get the championship game.
But this is a, it's a tough opponent. I mean, it is the number three seed too, as well too.
Yes. Yeah, so definitely for the men and the women, the men are playing Briarcliff tomorrow on Friday, and then the women have Hastings on Saturday. Both teams you can't look past and take it one game at a time.
Yep.
Focus on the championship if we make it there.
Now we got some. Now it's like the final vision of the regular season coming to an end. We got a big game or a big conference meet coming up. It's cross country time. Cross country is going to their GPAD championship this Saturday as well.
Yes, indeed. So, GPAD cross country championships. We've got some potential national qualification that we're looking for.
All right.
So, I was talking to some of the men's team guys earlier, and they were telling me there's, you know, a very slim chance that they qualify as a team. There's still a shot, but very slim because GPAC men only have 11 teams, which means you only get one automatic bid for winning the conference. The women, they have College of St. Mary, so they have 12, and they get 2 teams going. But there are some very solid teams on both the men's and the women's side, so neither team are likely to get that automatic qualifying spot, while it's still, of course, possible. Just not quite as likely. So, gonna have to rely on the individual qualifying to have a shot at making nationals, most likely.
Right.
And for GPAC, it's top 15, automatic qualifying for nationals. That's all conference. And if you look at Concordia, who's likely to make it?
Can I say my names already?
You sure, you can say your names.
I'm gonna say either Vaughn was one and Trey. Those two guaranteed for the guy's side?
Certainly not guaranteed, of course, but certainly like with the best chance.
That's like best chance in my opinion as well. And then on the women's side, I mean, there may be some sleepers.
Yeah.
But here's one that is like probably have a higher shot as well, being Gilly Green.
Absolutely. So we're looking at the top times from the GPAC this season. This is for 8K, which is the distance that the GPAC championships are going to be. This isn't from one meet necessarily. It's everyone's season best.
Right.
So, of course, different courses, different weather conditions. But these are the fastest times that people have run this season. Vaughn Hendrickson is sitting second in the conference right now for PR, or for season best. Behind Luke Swanson of Dort, it's only a 5-second gap. So I think Vaughn could certainly close that. Then you have Trey Robertson, like you mentioned, in eighth. He's run a 25:10 this year. If you remember, Vaughn and Trey went 1-2 at GPAC last season.
I was there.
Yeah, so both still have the chance to do that. Trey's going to need a very good performance. Vaughn is going to need a very good performance.
I feel like when they're going to be in this race here, Coach Bizo, who I'm going to shout out anyway, who's really one of the best coaches, in my opinion, I have met in my lifetime, he's going to have an idea and a game plan to have those two, you know, do their things. And the thing is that the team chemistry is there too.
Absolutely.
So they can build each off each other, and that means on the final, maybe like the final 150 of that race, Trey might catch up to Vaughn, and then they're just going to push each other to see and try to do like a little funny race against each other to see who's going to pass the line first.
Absolutely, and those two aren't the only ones who have a decent chance of making the national meet. Aiden Limbach, he's sitting in 10th right now. He's running 25:21, so just 11 seconds behind Trey. You look at someone with maybe a more outside chance, but Trevor Kunchel, he's running 25:58. His PR is just 17 seconds behind the 15th spot, so he certainly has a chance as well. You got Abe Chance, 27th right now in the GPAC, Ransom Watts, 31st, and then Justin Sherman in 34th. So all of those guys certainly have a shot. You know, some higher chance than others, but all of them certainly have a chance.
Now, what about the women's side?
The women's side. like you mentioned, Keely Green, nearly a shoe-in. God forbid something bad happens.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, but she should be making it to the national meet. Keely Green, she's run a 21:34.6 in the 6K. She's just 14 seconds behind first as well.
Okay.
So certainly with a shot to do it. Then we have to scroll a little bit further down to find our next women's runner. We have Annika Schlachter. She's 27th. She is about 40 seconds off of 15th, so she's going to need a really good performance to get her there. It's not undoable. She could certainly have a really good race and do it, but it's going to take a very good performance. Then Ashley Robertson, younger sister of Trey, she's sitting in 33rd with a 23:17. Again, about 50 seconds off of the mark for 15th spot.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to seeing some fast times on Saturday. Looking forward to seeing, hopefully, 4 or 5 national qualifiers. And maybe you see a team qualification as well.
Yep.
We'll have to wait on that until the committee decides. But I think certainly we have some good things coming.
Now, we're almost close to wrapping up the show. We got to give out a little bit of shout out because this Friday and this Saturday is the Cattle Classic for basketball, for men's and women's basketball.
Yes, here it
in Concordia. And we have, obviously, me and Kai Olbrick are going to be doing some commentary, play-by-play on Saturday, but not one for women's basketball for our team, and then another one for Dakota Westland and
Arizona Christian University.
Thank you for that, because I was going to have a brain fart for that, man. But that's pretty much all we got right there, don't we?
Yeah, so just to give a little bit of the preview of the Cattle Classic schedule. It starts tomorrow, Friday, November 7th. We've got our women playing against Arizona Christian University at 4 p.m. Then we have the men taking on Oklahoma City University at 6. Then move on to Saturday. We have the women versus Mid-America Nazarene University at 12. And then the men versus Clark University from Iowa at 2 p.m. Then the tournament will conclude at 4 p.m. as Hastings College takes on Oklahoma City. After all that, you'll have the Cattle Classic, you know, best five team for the men and the women, so stick around for that. It is also a canned food drive. So you can get entry to the game through just cash, or you can also bring canned food. The admission fee for the weekend for an adult is 10 cans or 10 bucks, 6 cans or $6 for a game. Concordia students, your Concordia ID will not get you into these games.
Remember that. I understand.
It's for charity. You can cough up 2 or 3 cans of food for a basketball game, or 6 cans for the weekend. Also, $6 for the weekend pass, or $2 per game.
Now, for the people that are working there, obviously you get free admission because you're working there. But yeah, Obviously, let's help out this charity wise. Get some canned foods for those who are struggling with it as much too, so it'll be great if we do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, with that being said, I think that's all we have
exactly
for this episode today. So, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Talking Dogs. Make sure to follow us at cunesower.com/podcast and follow us on Spotify. But for now, this has been Kai Olbrick and Aaron Spivey. From us and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day. And go Dogs!